Welcome to The Intuitive Customer, where we discuss how you can improve your customer experience and your bottom line. And now, here are your hosts, award-winning influencer and pioneering author of 7 books, Colin Shaw and Professor Ryan Hamilton from Emory University.
I am a loyal customer of Apple, okay, as people know. I have a perception that Apple are loyal to me, but the reality is, as you've said, they don't know who I am.
Right. Loyalty can only exist in the context of alternatives. So, in other words, if you've used your cable company for the last 20 years, but it's because it's the only cable company that's available to you, you're not loyal to that cable company. It's just that you had no choice.
For me, if I was to say, okay, well, what is it you do to create a loyal customer? Then you've really got to think about what are you sacrificing? And that is such a great question, the more I think about it, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
Ryan, we have a pickle.
Good.
I really like having people write into us and engage with us. So thank you very much to Sonia Montella, who's written into us and asked us a really interesting question, actually.
Let's hear it.
So Sonia has basically said that she's heard me talk about customer loyalty being the most overused and misunderstood phrase in business today. What I haven't heard is a detailed explanation of what customer loyalty is and why people want it, or why do we need to be loyal to something or someone. And I thought to myself, that's a really good question.
I'll be honest, Connor, that's kind of too good a question. Sonia's kind of coming in hot here. I'm feeling a little threatened by the depth of this. Those are some philosophical questions.
You're right there, mate.
I'm not sure we're going to have a complete
answer. It's a bit worrying when your audience gets a bit more intelligent than you are, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was early days for us, but still. We're not promising to answer your question, Sonia, but we will happily flounder around for 20 minutes trying.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So I know you'll come at this from the theory perspective, but I sat down and I thought to myself, that's a really good question. And I've written down here 6 things that I think from a psychological perspective that make up loyalty.
That's okay? Great.
Maybe we should treat this as you should score my homework.
I like that.
Do I get a degree at the end of this?
Well, I mean, the problem is if I fail you, you have to repeat this podcast, which is more work for me.
Let's try and put this into context, because Ryan and I were also chatting about it prior to doing this recording. And we already started coming up with some really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
The way I always look at loyalty is I actually think of who am I loyal to in my life? Mm-hmm. And normally the answer is your family and your friends. The only other thing I would put into that is Luton Town Football Club.
People are very loyal to their sports clubs. It's very rare for people to change allegiances to sports franchises once they're held. Like, even if you move to another place that has a different sports team, usually you hold on to that loyalty, which is very, very interesting.
Yes. No, it is. And Lorraine, my wife, listens to some of these, so I'm going to keep them in that order.
That's smart. She may be loyal to her divorce attorney if you don't.
Yeah. But when you think about loyalty, for me, people would have heard me say many times that loyalty is an emotional attachment. So part of the answer for me absolutely is that I'm loyal to those people, I'm loyal to Luton Town Football Club, despite the fact that some of the time they give me heartache. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do I have arguments with my wife? Yes. Do my kids sometimes annoy me? Yes. But you do all of those things, you know, and it just Luton as a classic example. You know, we were in the Premiership. We fell through five tiers of English football, and now we've risen up through those five tiers to get back into the Premiership. And the pain and anguish that you suffer on the way down, and the disappointment, and you're still giving money to the club. And then during COVID, and you know, all the fans were locked out of the grounds and everything else, we ended up donating money to the club and everything else. And you go, it's madness, really, because it's a business. But there is this, I guess the point, first point is that there's this emotional attachment, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah. So when we've talked about loyalty in the past, we've tried to emphasize that loyalty is not and cannot be just behavior. So just the fact that you do something over and over again is not enough to conclude that you are loyal to it. That's a part of loyalty. Like if you're loyal to a brand, presumably you buy the brand often or repeatedly. But you can buy a brand repeatedly and not be loyal to them. It could be just habit, or that might be your only option. Like there are other reasons why you might. So behavior is part of it, but this emotional attachment is actually really important. The way I would phrase it is that loyalty is a relational construct. It's part of a relationship that you have with a person or an organization or a brand.
Let me delve into that then, because this is interesting. Because and you taught me this, it goes down to then definitions, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's all definitions, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So one of the words that you've just used there is a relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. I was listening to a podcast yesterday, a political podcast, about a famous politician who shall remain nameless.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not
Voldemort.
I wasn't sure if you were trying to be tactful. we're going to tell a story about me and just didn't want to use my name.
The point I was trying to get to is that with this particular politician, apparently one of the things that they like is loyalty. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, you know, pretty much everybody likes loyalty. Mm-hmm. But here's my challenge. Can loyalty be one way? Can I be loyal to something when I don't get loyalty back? And the reason I'm raising that is that you mentioned the word relationship.
Yeah.
And relationship, again, for me, implies two ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I start to think about some of the brands that I would consider I'm loyal to, I'm not sure if they're necessarily loyal to me.
It's a really, really good question. So my knee-jerk reaction would be to say, yes, it's part of a relationship. It must be two-sided. Like, you can't be loyal to something that's not loyal back to you. That would be crazy. But I don't think that's right. Like, I think that when I use the term relationship, I'm using it in the sense of how you see things. It is entirely possible for us to form relationships that are one-sided, so that exist only within our minds, right? So people form these para-relationships with fictional characters or with entertainment properties. From a psychological standpoint, that is a relationship that I have. The fact that this celebrity has no idea that I exist, the fact that Luton Town, you know, none of the players know who you are. You're the only one in the stand for those years that they went down. So maybe they do, in fact, know who you are. But by and large, like, your sports franchise doesn't care who you are, right? They might have your name in a database somewhere, but that is a one-sided relationship. But from your standpoint, it's still a relationship and it's still very valuable to you. So as a practical matter, yes, I think that you can be loyal to something that is not loyal back to you, or to a person that is not loyal back to you.
Ultimately, it's about your perception, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it was making me think, there's been a really good series that Lorraine and I have been watching over in England. I don't know if you saw it. They did an American version of it called Traitors. Uh-uh. So it's a game show. It's very unusual for Lorraine and I to watch this sort of game show, sort of reality TV. Very unusual for us to watch it. But it's based around a sort of a murder mystery, you know, like who killed you get 20 odd people, 22 people, I think it is. Two or three of them are traitors. The rest of them are
faithful. That's a party game that we played as a kid. I think we called it Mafia. But I keep explaining. I'm sorry. For those who haven't heard of it, explain the rules.
And the whole thing about the game is you've got to find out who the traitors are. And every night they have this round table and then they banish this individual. And then they stand up and they go, no, I'm a faithful and you've just killed one of your own team and everything else. We watched the final a couple of days ago. And I need to do a spoiler alert here. I know this episode won't be coming out for a while, but just in case you're watching the UK traitor. Anyway, long and short of it is it came down to two players. And these two players really got on well. One woman, one bloke. They really got on well with each other. Yeah. And at the end, they basically said, okay, you know, are you a traitor? Are you a faithful? This woman was absolutely shocked that this guy ended up being the traitor, because she throughout the show was basically going, no, it's not him. And at the end of the day, I think she lost something like 50 grand, you know, pounds. So I don't know, $60,000-$70,000 because of it. But with the show, the point I'm trying to make is I felt it was an anti-climax at the end, because it was so clear that she had really felt betrayed.
Mm.
So we know it as a game, but she had really felt betrayed, and she was loyal, which is where the point I'm trying to get to him. Okay. And you could also feel that he was gutted, that he felt that he had to do it, because he was going to win a lot of money for his family and everything else. At the end, it felt such an anticlimax, because this person had put so much to it. So I guess the point I'm trying to get to is this whole bit about that perception. So I perceive that I am a loyal customer of Apple, as people know. I have a perception that Apple are loyal to me, but the reality is, as you've said, they don't know who I am.
Right.
That loyalty probably is my perception, not necessarily reality. If something was to really go wrong, then would they support me in some way?
Let's pause here. So I think we've talked about a few really important concepts in loyalty, and I kind of want to pull them together before we build on them and add more. So going back to your example of Luton Town Football Club, as I looked up a little bit what psychologists said about loyalty before we started, one of the themes that comes out in loyalty is that loyalty can only exist in the context of alternatives. So in other words, if you've used your cable company for the last 20 years, but it's because it's the only cable company that's available to you, you're not loyal to that cable company. It's just that you had no choice. So part of the reason we know you're loyal to Apple is because there are alternatives for any Apple product. You could go buy substantially similar offerings from other providers.
Sure.
But you don't. And that's an important context there. So there's this idea that loyalty comes at some kind of cost to you, that you're giving up outside options that you otherwise could be pursuing.
There's an important word. I know we've talked about this in the past. And in fact, there was a podcast that we did a little while ago about the difference between loyalty and inertia, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And I remember us talking then about the important word was sacrifice.
Yes. We're on the same page on this. So like an important part of this is giving up at least the opportunity for other things, and then also some level of sacrifice or willingness to sacrifice. So when you talk about, you know, your loyalty to a losing sports franchise, at least for many years, you know, that's really hard. And yet you persevered through that. Like that is then a sign of loyalty. Is there a British idiom for fair weather fans? Is there something that you call people who are like jump on the bandwagon when the team is doing well? But
glory hunters.
Glory hunters. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm sure that exists in every language.
Our stadium is now full of glory hunters.
Yes, now that they're doing well, now they're back in the premiership, they will all tramp through that one guy's backyard so they can get into the stadium.
You've definitely been to our ground.
Yes, I've seen pictures. There's this sacrifice or willingness to sacrifice, endure a little bit of pain or discomfort. Like, these are elements that are important in loyalty. And then trustworthiness also is a part of this. Like, do we trust that this can be? Okay, so these are all parts of loyalty. Now let's add in another factor that we've kind of circled around, which only occurred to me as I was preparing for this conversation. As much as we've talked about loyalty before,
yeah,
there seems to be a fundamental need that most of us have to be loyal to something. Why? Like, why would we be loyal to things that cause us to sacrifice, that cause us to miss out on opportunities, on other alternatives? I think that deep down we want this. Like, this is a part of how we define ourselves. It helps us to kind of give structure or order to our own beliefs.
Ryan, I've got some interesting facts for you around the number of 80,000.
I'm happy to sit at your feet and learn your wisdom, Colin. What are these facts?
Did you know that 80,000 kilometers is the circumference of the Earth?
As far as you know, I did know that. Did you know, Colin, that 80,000 is roughly the population of Livermore, California, home of the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory Science Center?
No, I didn't. What's more incredible, Ryan, is 80,000 people is the number of people who have subscribed to the LinkedIn newsletter, Why Customers Buy, that I write every week.
Colin, if you were able to get all of your readers together, you could form your own city.
I could. And if we put them end to end, they may even go around the circumference of the Earth.
If they were all 1 kilometer tall, that is true.
So if you'd like to join the other 80,000 people who enjoy the Why Customers Buy newsletter each week, then simply go to LinkedIn, look up my name, and you'll see the newsletter there. We look forward to seeing you every week. Sonia, I hope you're getting something out of this conversation, because I am. As I thought about it, isn't that about tribalism?
Can be.
Isn't that I want to be part of a tribe? And if I go behind that, I want to be part of a tribe because actually I feel more protected when I'm part of a tribe. And that ties into the trust bit. I'm now joining a group. I'm going to say another word, you know, has got similar values to the word to, you know, my tribe has got similar values. And therefore, that's where sort of some of the evolution of loyalty has come about from.
I think that a lot of loyalty exists within tribalism. And a lot of tribalism is kind of enforced through loyalty. I think we can come up with examples, though, where people are loyal outside of being parts of a tribe. So you might be loyal to some particular brand of toothpaste, for example. Nobody else knows about it. And you're not like a part of the Crest community. So I think that loyalty can exist outside of being a tribe. That said, I think that a lot of loyalty happens within communities, right? That we are all together loyal to this thing and therefore loyal to each other. And that's an important driver of it.
And as part of that, you recognize that you do have to sacrifice something. It's interesting, isn't it? Because there is this whole concept around the underdog, isn't there?
Yeah.
And again, if I think back to sort of Luton and stuff like that, there's this whole bit around it's us against the world. Mm-hmm. And if you look at sports teams and some of the best movies that you get around this type of stuff, it's, you know, how this team succeeded despite having all of these people against them and everything else. And that, I guess, sort of maybe it's that suffering that actually bonds people together as well, because it comes back to that common cause, doesn't it? And common values.
Yeah. And again, like it occurs to me that we want that bonding. We want that, like that we benefit from being loyal to something. I mean, there are lots of examples of people who are, for example, from like abusive families or are within abusive relationships who are still loyal to those partners or loyal to those family members, even though it's objectively not good. There's lots of examples of people being loyal to brands that aren't very good or loyal to sports teams that aren't giving them very much in return. That strikes me as therefore we are fulfilling some need, that we want to be loyal to certain things. I think that people used to be loyal to their companies in ways that we're not anymore, because in part because our companies are no longer loyal to us in ways that they were. And I think that it's same with a lot of church communities in various parts of the world. People are kind of less loyal and part of those things. But I see us being more loyal to other things. We mentioned politicians. I think people are much more loyal to political parties and to individual politicians, at least in America, than we have been in a long time. And that suggests to me that we're kind of like squeezing a balloon. We're being less loyal in some aspects of our life, but that doesn't mean that we're just less loyal in general. It seems to me like we're finding new ways of being loyal to other things again, because I think we need that. I think that we get something out of it.
Yeah, it's interesting because it was making me think of, if I go back to this Traitors program, this guy that won it in the previous episode, he was basically doing this task and he could have personally taken away $10,000. He was basically won this task and he was given the choice. You can have $10,000, yeah, and take it away and put it in your bank account now, or you can give it to the team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it becomes part of the bigger pot.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to give it to the wider team.
Yeah.
As a play,
yeah,
to go, wow, I'm loyal to the team.
Yep.
I'm a faithful and I'm loyal. I'm a loyal member.
You're sacrificing, right? That's how you demonstrate loyalty.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But it was interesting. I guess the point I'm trying to get to is it was clearly an act.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, if you then draw that parallel, I wonder what are the things that organizations do that are acts of loyalty as opposed to real loyalty,
yeah,
which I would class as that real emotional attachment. There's three other things that I had on my list. What is loyalty effectively? You know, what's the detail of it? One was about, and you could probably join these together, one was about expectations, and I would probably link to that familiarity, and probably actually I might as well just say the last one as well, because they probably all link together. And the other one's about habits. That's when you start to confuse. The danger is that you confuse loyalty with a habit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it goes back to the test, doesn't it? Which is, what are you prepared to give up? And I can see that from a customer perspective. I just struggle with an organizational perspective for the customer.
Yeah, it's easier for me to imagine and to think up examples, to remember examples at the level of individual representatives of an organization. So I've had people come over to the house to fix things, and they will stay long hours, or they will like go the extra mile and really like inconvenience themselves to do some bit of work on the house. That signals that this employee is clearly sacrificing something, and that engenders a lot of loyalty. On my behalf, it signals that they are kind of loyal to me and solving my problems. But I'm having a harder time thinking of organizations that are able to do that at kind of the brand level.
So I was just thinking of one, actually. Southwest Airlines at 9/11 were the only company, I believe, or the only airline, I believe, that allowed customers money back on their tickets.
Full refund.
Full refunds on their tickets. I'll give you another personal example. We were going to the Galapagos Islands on a holiday. And we'd booked through a company in the UK called Trail Finders, and then COVID hit. Mm. So it was cancelled. And it was an expensive trip. But they gave us back all of our money pretty quickly. And I thought that was pretty good, because I was hearing some real horror stories about organizations getting their money back. And clearly, from an organizational perspective and a cash flow perspective, you just go, that must have been a nightmare for those travel agents to deal with. Since then, we book all of our holidays through TrailFinders.
That's a great example.
Because of that. And that's, you know, those two examples, I think, are sacrifice. You see, you then go the opposite of that. And I've started to draw up a little list of these, okay? Organizations that effectively just screw the customer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you see get major fines for doing something wrong with customers. There just seems to be many organizations recently where there are big scandals or big fines being levied at them. And then the CEO moves on and then they turn around and go, well, we're a new CEO, so we're going to get all this lot right. Fixed. And it's like, well, just wipe the slate clean then. We won't, you know, bear that. But you just go, yeah, that's, you're not loyal to us at all. Us, the consumer.
I think those are great examples. So I've argued that I think that people have this need to feel loyalty and that can be a one-way street. I do think in general, we tend to be loyal to those who are loyal back to us. I think that's most often how loyalty works. And so I think the best strategy for engendering loyalty on the part of your customers is to be loyal to your customers. That's not the only way it happens. We've talked about alternative paths towards that. But that seems to be the most likely way to be successful in engendering loyalty. Also, arguably the most ethical, kind of the best way to go about it. This idea of sacrificing for your customers and signaling sacrifice, like there, because a company could do something and it could be interpreted by the customer as being, oh, the company's really sacrificing and doing something for me. Or it could be interpreted by the customer as, oh, this is a cynical ploy to try to manipulate me. So it needs to be interpreted by the customer in the right way as well.
Let's finish off with that. So Sonia, I hope that conversation has had a, gives you an indication of what we think customer loyalty is around. When I've said it's the most overused phrase in business is simply because loyalty in my book with most organizations means that this customer gives us all their business. And as I say, the balance is not there in that relationship. It just tends to be one way. And certainly for me, if I was to say, okay, well, what is it you do to create a loyal customer? Then you've really got to think about what are you sacrificing? And that is such a great question. The more I think about it, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, what are you sacrificing for your customer? And there needs to be that emotional attachment. There needs to be a recognition that it's tribal. That sort of means that there's trust there as well and getting the customer to, for me, it's feeling valued and cared for. For me, loyalty is also about expectations, familiarity, having shared values. And true loyalty is two-way, which means that both sides of the equation is sacrificing something. Or, in fact, what just flashed across my brain was, or perceived that. So if I have a perception
yes.
that this company is sacrificing something, okay? Actually, the reality is that they may not be, but if I perceive that they are, that's the main thing.
I'll make a larger pitch for doing what Colin and I just did during this episode. So Colin and I have been talking about loyalty for a long time, but it wasn't until we sat down just now and really tried to dig into the definition. I feel like we both came to a new understanding of it just by talking it through. So regardless of where you are on loyalty, Sonia, and everyone else listening, buy your team lunch and sit around a table and talk about like, well, what do we mean when we say loyalty? Or what do we mean when we say customer satisfaction? Or what do we mean when we say customer centric? And have those philosophical debates and kind of kick things around. It tends to produce some real insights and can lead you to have a better idea of how you can improve.
I totally agree with that. The only thing I would add would be start off by having that debate around in your personal life.
Yeah.
What does it mean? And then have the debate about what does it mean in the company? Because they Great should advice. Be the same. The core tenets of it yeah. should be the same and often aren't because people think it's something different. But my view is you're still dealing with a human being and therefore all of the things should apply. So hope that's been of use, and we look forward to talking to you next week on the show. Okay, thanks everyone. Cheers.
Thanks very much for listening to the show today. We really hope you've enjoyed it. And if you have, it would be really great if you could leave us a review.
This has been The Intuitive Customer with Colin Shaw and Professor Ryan Hamilton. But it doesn't end here. Just go to beyondphilosophy.com/podcast to find all of our shows, access free tools and resources, and subscribe, won't you? That way you'll never miss a show. That's beyondphilosophy.com/podcasts. We look forward to talking with you next time on The Intuitive Customer.